From Silicon Valley, California, this is Fresh Dialogues. This week on Fresh Dialogues, I talk with Heidi Roizen, the celebrated Silicon Valley entrepreneur and venture capitalist. We talk about her inspiration for Skinny Songs and learn about her successes and challenges crossing from Silicon Valley software to songwriting. Now, I'm with Heidi Roizen, and she's a very well-known Silicon Valley entrepreneur, the founder of TeaMaker, and a former VP at Apple. And you've served on 20 corporate boards, and yet you've chosen to put your creativity and your money into Skinny Songs. Can you talk about the inspiration for that, Heidi?
Sure. Well, Skinny Songs is a really fun, creative venture that I embarked on last year. And embarked on it for a very personal reason, which is I got on the scale one morning and I hit an all-time high. And as a person from the finance industry, all-time highs are good. As a person trying to watch your weight, all-time highs are not so good. And that led me to really think about my life and think about my desire to get on top of weight loss and fitness and do something about that before it became too late. I was approaching my 50th birthday and really looked at that as a milestone that I wanted to be in better shape. And as I thought through getting on track and changing my life, I thought I needed some motivation. And it occurred to me that music's always been a great inspiration and great motivation for all sorts of things. I mean, you know, listen to it for sporting events, and you listen to it when you go through a breakup and whatever. It really moves you. And I thought, I want that. I want that to impact me, but I want it to be about things that have to do with getting in shape. And so the idea was really to use music, but use the lyrics, create lyrics that would actually speak to the things that are motivating to me and hopefully to other women. It really is oriented towards women. And so it's things like fitting in skinny jeans or buying leopard print again or getting up and feeling great about yourself. It's really upbeat, uplifting music, but with a powerful message and a positive message to stick to your motivations and stick to your plans and really make something good happen for yourself.
Tell me, I understand you wrote all the lyrics. You wrote 40 lyrics, and
yes,
you've culled it down to 10 for the CD.
Yes.
Talk about your inspiration. Who or what was your muse?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. It was a lot of fun. I actually was a creative writing major in college and then got sidetracked into the technology sector. So this was, I joke that this is actually an endeavor for which I have a degree that qualifies me. Yay! But seriously, what I did was once I came up with the idea, I realized that, well, I'm a newbie at this. You know, I'm not in the music industry. I don't play an instrument. I don't have a good singing voice. So my goal was to create the music, but not necessarily to be behind all the aspects of it. And so the first thing I did was go out and find people who really knew what they were doing. And I pitched this idea to George Daly, the CEO of About Records. It's an independent label here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And George really liked the idea. And so he, in turn, connected me with a man by the name of David Malloy. And David has had 40 number one hits to his name as a producer. He's had multiple Grammy nods as a songwriter. And it ended up being a great collaboration with George and David both finding the talent and in many cases writing the music. David and I ended up collaborating on 7 of the songs. I was doing the lyrics, he was doing the composing and doing the producing, as was George, to make these things as good as the music you hear on the radio, because ultimately the music wasn't going to be motivating if it was a pain to listen to. It needed to sound every bit as good as Pink or Rascal Flatts or Carrie Underwood or any of the popular music. So for me, the lyric writing was really sitting down every day and thinking, what would I need to hear? What would I need to hear to motivate me? And I would think about different topics. And sometimes it would strike me, this first song I wrote, Skinny Jeans, is really a love song, a woman's affair with her pair of pants that she can't wear anymore. And by the end of the song, they're happily reunited and together again. So it's a fun tongue-in-cheek song. Mm-hmm. But I think every woman can relate to that piece of clothing. I call it my aspirational wardrobe. You know, that piece of clothing that you used to love and wear, and now there's a little too much of you to fit in it, and you'd like to go regain that love again. There's another song called You to Boss, which is really about relationship to food. And again, what I thought about is I want a fun, upbeat song. I want something fun to listen to when I'm tempted to reach for that cookie. Mm-hmm. And it's as if my conscience is talking to me saying, you don't need that cookie. Come on. You know, right. You have a plan. Let's stick to the plan.
But Heidi, how do you avoid being preachy with your lyrics? Were there a lot of editing? And did you get feedback in writing the lyrics?
You know, I wrote a whole bunch, first of all. I wrote 40 different songs, different variations on things. And for example, that song, the first three times I tried to do a song about relationship to food, it came out kind of depressing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and that's when I had a breakthrough with one of the artists, a gentleman by the name of Cleo Futuristo. And he had done one of the other songs on the CD. And when I heard his style, that's when I got the idea of, well, wait a minute, instead of making this sad sort of preachy music about don't touch that, let's make it a fun hip hop song. Let's make it like, you know, MC Hammer, you know, can't touch this, you know, can't touch that cookie, and have some fun with the spirit and the spunk of this idea, as opposed to having it become commanding or preachy. So a lot of times it was just experimenting with different things. It was collaborating back and forth with Kaleo. Kaleo actually wrote the music for that song. And so they would take my lyrics. And as George said to me one day, you write poetry, but we need lyrics. And so they would work with me back and forth, a lot of times framing a song around the lyrics, but then telling me, now you need to modify the lyrics. You need to have a bridge. You need to have the chorus. You need to cut this. You need to expand on that. And a lot of times we were really negotiating down to the word, important things that I felt the music needed to carry, because the message had to be spot on or it wasn't going to work.
Right. So but it sounds like it was a steep learning curve for you. A whole new area, a bit different from software technology.
Absolutely. And fun. I mean, a fun creative endeavor, but there were literally times that, for example, David Malloy would call me from the studio and he'd say, we're having trouble laying the track for this one line, listen, and he'd hold up the phone and I'd hear, in this case, this wonderful singer, Tanya, sing it, and he'd say, okay, you have 5 minutes to fix that, call me back. And then I'd sit down and think about, okay, what's a different way to say that would fit better in the cadence of the music, and then call him back and we'd re-record.
And tell me about the feedback you've been having, because I understand you've been featured on every show that's worth being on: Oprah, Martha Stewart, The Today Show.
Yeah, well, I've been on Oprah on her radio show, and I've been on the Martha Stewart Show and CBS Early Morning, and some, you know, an interesting mix. It really has sparked a lot of interest, because it's one of those funny things, you know. A lot of people say to me, "Gee, why didn't anybody think of this before?" And it seems to make sense. You know, music is such a powerful motivator. If it weren't, it wouldn't be used in sports and religion and frankly, in marketing, right? Jingles to sell you things. So why not use the power of music to motivate you to do something? And that has really sparked a lot of interest with people. So that's been terrific. What's more gratifying than that? I mean, it's great to get attention, and it's, you know, obviously it's wonderful to get the word about the CD out there. But what's been better has been the fan mail. I get fan mail from people. You know, they go on my skinnysongs.com site, and there's a place where they can send me email. And I've gotten the most interesting email from people who say, oh my God, thank you. You know, I had one, this wonderful woman who sent me an email about Easter dinner that she always has trouble around her family when it's a festive meal, not indulging in the desserts and not indulging in the pie. And she knew that she was going to face this pie on Easter Sunday. And so she got an MP3 player and she had one of the earbuds in her ear while she was talking to her family. And she was playing that song, You to Boss, over and over again, because it literally has a line in it that says, you don't need that piece of pie. And so she succeeded in not eating that pie. And she was so thrilled about it that she wrote me the next day and said, thank you for writing that song.
That's
so,
a great story.
Yeah, it's really good. I've just heard from scores and scores of people, and they all have interesting stories. And, you know, there are people who've lost 5 pounds. And really, this isn't about any particular age, any particular weight. It is a little politically incorrect, because that's how I think that's motivating and it's fun. People don't want to listen to sort of bland music. They want to listen to fun, sassy lyrics. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, even the title, Skinny Songs, it's not about being skinny. I'm not skinny. I'm 35 pounds less than I was a year ago, but I'm not a skinny person and I don't want to be a skinny person.
Tell me about the critics, because I'm sure you've had a lot of people saying, I've lost all this weight and I've seen on your website, you know, the before and after shots are amazing.
Yeah.
But what about the critics who say you're stereotyping women or you're making women try to fit into the skinny mold?
Right. And I think that there's always going to be criticism to any endeavor. And particularly, I think of this as an artistic endeavor. I was expressing something I wanted to say, and that's not for everyone. Certainly, it's not for people who are who struggle with eating disorders, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a t-shirt on my site that says, do not feed. I think it's funny, right? It's not intended for an anorexic or a bulimic to wear. And so my comment to people is, look, you have to really look into this and say, it's a piece of art. It's just like any other music, video, book, whatever. It's written for an audience of people like me. It is a little bit about vanity, because vanity is motivating. Vanity is not the be-all and end-all, but as someone, actually someone from the American Heart Association, who they love, this person loved my music, and he said, well, you know, if you wrote a song about lowering your cholesterol, nobody would want to listen to that. But fitting into your skinny jeans or wearing leopard print again, those are positive motivations. And even if it is a little bit about vanity, if vanity ultimately leads you to be healthier, then that's a good thing. So I think that people have to take the message with a grain of salt and a sense of humor and recognize that if you don't like it, if it's not for you, if it's not the musical style, if you don't like the message, don't buy it. No, don't listen to it.
It's a free country,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about sales, Heidi? How have sales been going with
your
CD? Are you where you thought you would be come November?
I'm close. I mean, I think that the biggest challenge I've had is the music industry is really built around artists. And I'm not an artist. The music is a collection. It crosses genres. Music industry is a lot about genres. And I have hip-hop. I have country, I have pop, I even have a kind of a more hard rock song on it. And so the biggest challenge I've had has been in music discovery. I'm a square peg in a round hole. It's very hard to get radio play. The music industry wouldn't know what to do with me because, again, I'm not an artist. I don't sing on these things. I don't tour. It's almost like having a soundtrack without the accompanying movie.
Right.
So that has been the biggest challenge, is the music discovery. On the flip side of that, I've been really gratified with the mainstream press and all of that. So I am only available on Amazon and iTunes. I don't have any sort of retail presence, and I don't think it would make sense for this CD, given that it is such a unique beast. It is hard for it to have where would you go look for it at a
right.
CD store?
Right.
But I'm very happy with its performance on Amazon and iTunes, and I think most people are now today comfortable with shopping on the internet, so that really hasn't been a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And are you breaking even?
I'm cash flow positive now, yeah,
mm-hmm.
And we'll see where it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
So this has, this has really been a labor of love, but it is also business, and I have just finished a book. I have a great agent, and we're out there just about to market it to publishers, and the book goes along in the same vein. So it definitely has become both a passion and a labor of love, as well as a business endeavor.
And what is the title of your book?
Can't Buy Thin. So that's the working title. And it is along the same lines of the idea of getting fit and taking care of yourself and getting healthy. It's not about buying your way into that, and it's not about money. It's just about making it a priority and making small incremental changes to your life that you can implement on a daily basis. So this is, this is my passion and this is what I'm doing. I am also still keeping one foot in my prior life. I am on the board of one public company, and I'll probably join one more public company board. So it's a nice, as I call it, a portfolio career, a nice balance between the creative fun endeavor and the traditional, the roots of where I came from and where I still want to continue to work.
Great talking with you, Heidi.
Well, thank you.
And good luck with Skinny Songs and
your
new book.
I really
appreciate you taking the time to talk with Fresh Dialogues.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Fresh Dialogues. This is Alison Van Diggelen, with special thanks to Tom Kromkowski and Carol Pecora for technical support, and Kevin McLeod, who wrote and produced our music.